Oh, yeah, mate. Water bottle. Yeah, in it. Like that kind of thing. So I'm ripped. I'm not ripped. But you know what I mean? Those old horsey women, they know their stuff. Worst feeling ever, because when riding is your passion, that's like the thing you love. And to be scared of the thing you love is such a horrible feeling. Sorry, it's been a long year. You know, this is the last podcast of the year. We're having some fun. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. Today, we're going to be talking about all things New Year's resolutions and goals, because this is the last podcast of 2023, I believe. So if you're watching this in the future, in 2024, where have you been? You're behind. I mean, I will let you off. It's been the Christmas period. I mean, if you're watching this in the summer, I mean, actually, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, Australia, New Zealand, you're going to be watching this in the summer anyway. But whatever time you're watching this, welcome, welcome. It might be not as interesting because we are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. I feel like it's one of those things where people either make like a drastic change in their life and then go all in, or if you're a little bit like me and you're a little bit like, oh yeah, like that would be some like nice things to do, and like I set like realistic goals and that kind of thing. So anyway, over on my socials, put a little question box up and asked you guys, what are your New Year's resolutions? What are your goals? We're going to go through them together, and also I'm going to mention some of mine. I was going to do it at the beginning, but I thought actually, because some of you guys have the same ones as me, so we'll talk about my ones in the end. I always feel like it's more interesting talking about you guys anyway. But yeah, let's start. Before we begin, also, I just want to say a huge thank you to Red Post, who is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, and they also ship all over the world, for very kindly sponsoring the podcast. I'm not really allowed to say anything, but apparently there might be a sale coming along. You didn't hear it from me. You never know. Not 100% confirmed yet, but you know, in January, there might be a good month to have a sale. That's all I'm saying. Okay, thank you very much, Red Post, for sponsoring the podcast. Anyway, let's have a little look. I'm going to grab my phone up now and see what you guys have got to say. One of you guys, I don't know if I should like shout out names or not. I'll not shout out the exact Instagram, but I'll shout out like the gist of the name. So, Lucky Equestrian says, to be able to get a horse by next winter would be my next goal. That is so exciting that you're getting a horse. I feel like I'm going to try and give my like best top tips for some of these things. Of course, everyone's equestrian journey is different. Everyone has like, sometimes people have different opinions on things, but I'm just going to say what has helped me with my equestrian journey. So when it comes to getting a new horse, I would say, I feel like I should do like a whole YouTube video on this topic because there is so much to talk about, but I'll give you some quick tips because I feel like this is a question that I get asked a lot at meet and greets. I would say don't rush to find your dream horse. Sometimes it can take a really long time. To find Casper, it took us over a year. And even then, can't lie, don't worry. I love my boy so much. He is amazing. I wouldn't trade him for the world. But he was not the easiest horse. He probably wasn't the right match for me for the level of rider that I was at the time. Obviously, my riding has improved over time. So we're a good match now. But back then, ooh. There was a lot of times where I fell off. So I would say, if it's especially your first horse, I would say get an older horse that's been there, done it, got the t-shirt. You know, that's a lot better than having a young horse that you have to train yourself, because a beginner rider and a beginner horse, it's not going to end well. So maybe a horse on a slightly older side. I would say if you're small or younger and you're looking to get a pony, I would say the best thing you can do is get a pony that, basically find out the reason why the person is selling the horse or the pony. So I'd say if you're looking for a pony, get a pony that someone's selling because they've outgrown. That is a really good reason to sell a horse. You don't want to get a horse that maybe someone's selling because it's too much for them, or it has medical problems or behavioral issues or things like that. So I always like to ask why people are selling a horse. Sometimes somebody might be a horse dealer and it's their business of why they're buying or selling horses. Maybe it's someone who's bred horses and that's why they're buying and selling, because they get a lot of horses. But yeah, I feel like that's always a really good question to ask. What else is a good thing to ask? I'd always make sure when you go and view a horse that the person rides it before you get on. I feel like that's a good idea with like any horse, unless it's like your bestie and they've got a horse and they know you and your riding ability, or like a riding instructor or things like that. I just think it's a good idea to watch someone ride that horse first, because if that horse decides, you know what, I'm going to do a double backflip, you probably might not want to get on that horse. So there we go. That's a little word of advice. So also something that I would always do, even like today where I've owned four horses, have been an equestrian like almost my whole life, that kind of thing, I feel like it's always really good to bring somebody else along with you that's really experienced. So all of the times I've viewed horses, I've always taken my instructor with me or a knowledgeable older equestrian. I feel like those old horsey women, they know their stuff. There might be something that they spot that you never know. Or old horsey men as well. But anyway, I feel like that's just always a good idea. Especially as there was one horse that I once viewed and we thought, fine and dandy, great. And then my instructor was like, you know what? I think there's something a little bit off about it. So I feel like that's always like a good thing to check as well. Also, I would say probably it depends on the person. Maybe go and see the horse more than once. I always think it's good to see the horse or even have like an experience of being able to like do what you would normally do with a horse. So like bring them up from the field or groom them or tack them up yourself, because they might be brilliant to ride. But if you want a horse that you're taking care of yourself and you can't get a saddle on without them trying to bite you or something like that, you want to be able to, you know, have a good relationship with them and have a horse that's also got good ground manners as well. So there is a lot to think about. There's a lot to look at. Also, I feel like no question is a bad question. Like, ask lots of questions. I feel like it can be really annoying if you're selling a horse and this person goes and asks loads of questions. Also, don't joyride on people's horses. There are some people that go and view horses just to get a free ride on a horse. Do not do that. Do not waste people's time. But yeah, so I would say, yeah, if you have a question, be sure to ask. What else is a good thing to do? I'd say like when you do finally meet your unicorn and you have your horse with you, I would say it takes a year to really get to know a horse and to really bond with them. You have to go through all the seasons with them. So I would say do lots of like bonding, groundwork, grooming, hanging around with them in their field or paddock, that's always nice, or in their stable, find out where their favourite scratchy spot is, just little things like that, see what their favourite treats are. It does take a really long time to bond with a horse and get to know them, but once you're there, it's incredible. So best of luck on your horsey journey. Also, I would always get my horses vet checked. Actually, Duke is the only horse that we didn't get vet checked by, but technically we don't own him. He's owned by Wild Horse Welfare, but we look after him. That's the way it works, because they don't want any horses to ever be mistreated again. So if for whatever reason I cannot look after Duke properly, like maybe I don't know, financial difficulties or my physical health declines, they can make sure that Duke is forever well looked after. So anyway, moving swiftly on, I feel like we kept on that one for a while, but if you guys have any other sort of, I don't know, I feel like that's probably the best advice I have for now. I feel like there's a lot more that I could probably say on the matter, but yeah, best of luck, and make sure you bring all your safety gear with you, helmet, body protector, that kind of thing. I don't know. Sorry, that was really random. But yeah, best of luck finding your dream unicorn. It can take a while, but I feel like when you find the one, you find the one. It can be tricky though, especially as I have no idea what the horse market is at the moment. Apparently after the pandemic, the horse prices and horse market has just become ridiculous. So I was very lucky to get Joey right at the beginning of 2020. What else do we have? Molly Boyle, she says, to be able to get back to how I was, sorry, the dyslexia is really ripe with this one. Sorry, I'll do that again. I really do struggle reading things sometimes if I haven't like read them, if I go too quickly, and you guys know me on the podcast, I like to read quite quickly. So to be able to get back to how I used to ride after my confidence knocks and injuries. Molly, I'm really sorry to hear that you're going through a confidence knock and you had some injuries with riding. That's, I know how you feel. It's like the worst feeling ever, because when riding is your passion, that's like the thing you love. And to be scared of the thing you love is such a horrible feeling. So I'm sending, oh, that really made me jump there. There's this like little Velcro flap on the microphone and I put my arm out and I touched it and gave myself a jump scare, so I apologise for that. Sorry, back to Molly. Molly, I'm sending you all my love. I'm not hitting my hand on the microphone this time. I'm sending you all my love. And yeah, I hope you get your confidence back. For me, when I lost my confidence, I felt like the things that helped me was number one, remember how much fun it was. So for me, it was jumping that I really lost my confidence with. So I didn't jump for a little while. I went on lots of nice hacks with the boys. I did lots of schooling, pole work, and I kind of like the thing that helped me get back was take everything at your own pace. Don't rush. Do things because they're fun. I found I put loads of poles on the ground in different places and kind of jumped a course, but with just poles. And that really helped me get my confidence up with that. And then I always say do things until they become boring. So maybe if you've lost your confidence cantering, do lots of trotting. And then maybe over time you'll think, this trotting is a little bit slow. It's getting a little bit boring. I want to canter again. And that's what I was like with jumping. Like I did little cross poles and then I was like, this is too easy, too small, too boring. Gonna move it up. So that is my best advice. Take things at your own pace, do them until they're boring, and remember how fun things are. Oh, you definitely didn't hear that, but Casper just went rawr. We've had a little delivery driver arrive and I think he's like, is that some carrots for me? Is that some snacks? Is that some food? Anyway, sorry, back to you guys. Oh, this is a really cute one. Abby says to compliment someone every single day. I feel like that's a really lovely thing. I feel like also that does not make sense, Esme. Remember how to English it. I filmed two podcast episodes today. The previous episode and today's episode, I'm filming at the same time so I can hopefully get a little bit of a Christmas break of just, you know, chilling out with food, sleeping, hacking the boys, that sort of thing, you know what I mean. Anyway, complimenting. I feel like you could also, as well as complimenting, like just try and like spread positivity in different ways. So like it could maybe be like holding the door for someone, or that's the only thing I can think of right now, but you know what I mean, just like little cute things like that. I feel like complimenting people is such a lovely thing to do, and I feel like sometimes, especially if someone's having a really bad day, sometimes you don't know that they're having a horrible or terrible day, and just a little thing like that can just restore your faith in humanity in the world and just make it seem like a brighter place. So I feel like that's a really lovely thing to do. I'm gonna challenge all of you to try and do one kind act each day to somebody. Could be helping your mum, helping your dad, helping your friend. You never know. So yeah, I feel like that's such a lovely one. What else do we have? Oh, I can relate to this one. This one's funny. Maybe I should put this also on my little New Year's resolutions / goals. Fran Equine says, to be able to see a stride. I feel like every person that does like show jumping goes through a phase where you're just like, goodness grief, I cannot see a stride to a fence for my life. So, I feel like I went through this stage a lot when I moved from Casper to Joey, or ponies to horses, especially as horses have such big strides. And also Casper has like such a short stride, which sometimes makes things easier because he's got such little legs. I always think Casper is built like a sausage dog because he has little legs but a long body, because even though he's like 14 3 15 hands, he actually has the same rug size as Joey, who's 16 1 16 2. So Casper does just have a very long body, which probably isn't great for his conformation, but anyway, so he's like riding a little sausage dog. Not literally, because he is a bit bigger than that. Quite a bit bigger than that. But anyway, sorry, back to jumping. Anyway, so because he had a shorter stride, it wouldn't be too much of a big deal to miss a stride out or add a stride in. With Casper, I'd say he was more of a add a stride in kind of horse, just because his legs were a little bit shorter, especially if we were doing related distances. That was the one thing that he would always really struggle with, especially when we got to the stage where we were jumping horse tracks, because I was over 16. But still on a pony. So yeah, that was cute. But we would definitely get two strides into one stride sometimes. Or if I got one stride into one stride on Casper, I felt like my life flashed before my eyes. You know when you go down the steps and you either like miss a step or there's an added step, or you know what I mean? It's like the, you know, it just makes you jump. Literally, I was going over a jump. but you know what I mean. So that's what it was a little bit like. So that's why I didn't really, like, I kind of stopped competing Casper at that kind of age, but also because I was focusing on my exams, focusing on the channel, it was a busy time. The best piece of advice that a professional show jumper said to me when it came to show jumping, because I feel like for a lot of people, it can, well, definitely for me, I feel like you can really overcomplicate some things sometimes and you can overthink things. So he said to me, Esme, with show jumping, all you need to do is have a good forward canter and be straight. If you got those two things, you're pretty much there. The other bits, they're little added bits, you know, fine tuning, that kind of thing. But if you're really struggling to see a stride, you're really struggling, you're thinking, I am having an awful day, I'm riding really badly. As long as you're forward and you're going in a straight line, you're going to be okay. Because if you're forward, you've got that momentum. And if you're in a straight line, you're going to go over the middle of the jump, not come at it with a weird angle. You're halfway there. So that is my advice if things of show jumping seems complicated. So there we go. I feel like that is pretty good advice, especially as with Joey sometimes. He's a little bit more on the lazy side. Takes a little while sometimes to get going. What happens is the first half of the course, he's going around like a donkey. And then the second half, he wakes up and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm jumping. This is so much fun. I forgot how much fun this is. And then it's like, oh, Joey, hold you back a little bit, my boy. He gets a little bit too long, too excited, too forward. Which, to be fair, if you were jumping against the clock and like the second half of the round was against the clock, that's pretty good. Well done, Joey. But most of the time it's not like that. So there we go. Anyway, that is what it's like to ride Joey, seeing strides. That is my best advice. Again, I'm not an instructor. This is what somebody once said to me, and I feel like it helped me a lot. Also, looking up. I feel like everyone who asks me for riding advice, I feel like the best advice I can give you is no question is a silly question. It's better to ask a silly question than to do something silly. And then also listen to your instructor. Maybe if you're a beginner, try and ride as many different horses as possible, because I feel like that's really good for your riding. So if you're riding at a riding school and things like that, that is brilliant. Also, so much fun riding different horses. What else I'd say? Yeah, just look up. I feel like that's one thing that lots of people don't do. You sometimes like looking down at what you're doing or looking down at the horse, and I feel like it's so easy to forget to look up. And also, look where you want to go. This was another thing that really helped me with jumping, especially with Casper, who could be quite spooky sometimes. So I had an instructor and they said, don't look at the jump when you're going to jump it. Look up and over it. Because if you look at the jump, the horse is going to think, well, where do I go after the jump? They might stop. You never know. But if you look up over the jump where you want to go and be like, that is where we're going, the horse is like, oh, we're going over there. Alrighty then, I'll go there then. So that's another thing that can, I feel like, especially when you're in tune with your horse, you've got that bond. I know it sounds really cheesy. I feel like everyone says that, but you know what I mean? I feel like when you look where you want to go, it just makes things so much easier. So look up, look where you want to go. I don't want to seem like I'm some sort of guru here. I feel like I'm giving a lot of advice, but I feel like it's just things that I've learned over time. I feel like there's going to be someone that's going to be like, what is Esme chatting about? I'd say something different. But anyway, these are things that have personally helped me. Every rider is different. Rosie's Ponies says, work on my rider fitness. I feel like this has been my sort of equestrian goal for the last couple of years, and I feel like my rider fitness has definitely improved, especially since working with Dee from the Dynamic Performance Hub, because she gives me like loads of different exercises to do, which have really helped build up my muscles, especially for riding. Because I feel like something me and my family always say is like, I'm ripped. I'm not ripped. But you know what I mean? As an equestrian, I feel like I am probably more muscular than some people. I'm not like a bodybuilder or anything, or like a proper gym girly, but on average, I'd say I'm probably more muscular than the most people. I feel like the thing is, being an equestrian, is these muscles are great for horse riding, but not necessarily other sports or other things. So for example, my thighs, they're good. They are on the muscly side. But what other, apart from, you know, riding a horse, using your leg aids, that kind of thing, or your seat, I feel like there aren't many other things that they would be useful for. Maybe, I was going to say, I did that one episode where I talked about going to the gym, and I said, they definitely have a proper name, but I call them the butt machines. Feel like I'm pretty good on the old butt machines, you know, the ones where you kind of squeeze like your legs together and the weight lifts up and down. Or there's the one where you kind of like squeeze your legs out. Anyway, we'll move on from the butt machines, but they're always really good fun. Upper body strength, I'm quite strong, you know, riding a horse, mucking out, moving water buckets, hay nets, you know, pushing a wheelbarrow. I feel like sometimes just looking after a horse is a little bit of an equestrian fitness anyway. I had an instructor once and she said, if you're fit enough to look after a horse, you're fit enough to ride a horse, so... there we go. There's always things to improve on, if it's your riding, your fitness. I got into running a little bit over the summer and I feel like I've lost that now. It's horrible winter, it's dark, don't want to get hit by a car while running on the roads. So I do enjoy a little treadmill run at the gym, but I just don't do it as often because the weather outside is poor. That's one thing about New Year's resolutions. I feel like they are so much easier to make in the summer rather than the winter. So you guys in the southern hemisphere, you guys got it easy. You guys got it good. But no, so I sometimes, because my birthday is in June, I always feel like I like to set some like goals mid-year then, which is also a good time of year because it's like spring summer or spring going into summer. So next up, Fanny the Pony says, get my project pony out for competing. That is really exciting. I personally don't think I could ever have a project pony because unless it was a pony that I was training up but to keep for myself, because you guys know I'm a little bit of a horse hoarderer. Is that word? Horse? I hoard horses. There we go. That sounds like better English. Basically, I have never sold a horse before, and I know that I'm in such a lucky and privileged position to be able to say that because, number one, I'm very lucky to keep them like at my parents' farm and things like that, and just to have horses in general. I feel like we're all so lucky just to have horses in our lives, if you do. So, but yeah, I actually, if I ever have nightmares where I wake up in the middle of the night crying, it's because I've had dreams that my horses have been stolen or taken away and have been like not looked after properly. But sometimes I feel like, as sad as it is, sometimes horses do need to be sold for them to be able to go to a home. I always say with horses, you need to make sure that you are giving them the best life possible. And if maybe you've outgrown a pony and you think it would have a better life with a younger rider that they can teach and they can go out and do things that are at their level, then, you know, you've got to always do what's best for the horse, the best for the pony. I've been in a very lucky position that by the time Mickey was ready to be retired was kind of the age where I was moving on to Casper, so we decided that keeping him was the best possible thing for him and for his life, and that, you know, we would take care of him till the end of his days. So we knew that if we did sell him, that he, like, number, I don't, just don't think, and nobody would want to buy a retired pony with multiple health problems. So there we go. And obviously Caspie is a size where I can still ride him. I still ride him regularly. We might not be jumping as high or as much as we used to because he's getting a little older now. Not that he's like ancient. I mean, he's a veteran horse, but it's more due to he has like a little bit of early onset arthritis. It's not awful. Like, he's not in pain or anything, but he can just be a little bit stiff sometimes. And my vets and my physios that I've talked to have said, you're fine to jump him. Just don't jump as high and don't jump as regularly. So for me, we do like a little course of cross bowls with not too tight a turns. They said gymnastics work is probably not very good for him, so doing bounce jumps and things like that, they were like, don't do that really, really regularly. So Caspie's just living his best life. He's having fun. He owes nothing to me. He's done so many years of pony club with me and camps and competitions and all that kind of stuff. So he owes nothing to me. He just deserves to live a lovely, happy life. We've just had a delivery, so we just had a little break halfway through the podcast, and it's just reminded me of a funny story that actually happened this morning. I feel like this podcast has been so interrupted. There's been like so many deliveries that I've had to stop because you can hear like the trucks or the van outside. But anyway, this morning, eating my breakfast in my dressing gown, chilling on the sofa, watching a bit of telly whilst, you know, drinking my tea, munching on my toast, and I saw this like man walk past. And I had this like big lorry truck thing arrived, and I thought, I know it's coming up to Christmas and people are, you know, ordering Christmas presents, but like, I was like, what has my neighbour like ordered? Like, what on earth? Like, there's this like massive lorry. There's like, so I thought the man was walking around to like deliver it to my neighbour. He saw me. I should have shut my curtains, but I was too lazy to. So I was like, I'll be fine. It's early in the morning. None of my neighbours will be up. But anyway, this dude saw me in my pyjamas, and don't worry, I was decent. Don't worry, it wasn't like that story where I flashed the postman. That's for a different episode. If you haven't listened to that one, that was embarrassing. Anyway, had my dressing gown on and, you know, my PJs. And I thought, I was just like blaming the neighbours in my head. I was like, what have they ordered? Like, what? Why is it being delivered like 8 a.m. in the morning as well? Like, I know delivery drivers have unique, you know, delivering slots. But I was like, what's going on? I was so confused. Then I realised it was for me. I was like, you know, blaming the neighbours the whole time, but it was me. I was the annoying neighbour once again. So basically, if you didn't know, this is a thing apparently in if you live in the countryside. There we go, Esme's country life. I feel like this has been a very horsey episode. But anyway, because I live in the middle of nowhere, I have like my heating by oil. So you have like a little oil tank out in your garden. Mine's behind my garage. And every now and again, you have to check it because it is a nightmare, apparently, if you run out of oil, because apparently, like, I don't know, like the pump or something goes wrong, or and then also you have no oil, so you don't have any heating, you're going to be cold, it's not going to be good. Do not want to have any cold showers, especially in the middle of winter. So there we go. So yeah, I was like, oh, wonder how my oil's doing. Haven't bought any oil for a while. Checked and I was like, oh, it's near the bottom. I should probably order some oil, because it's just one of those things that you don't really think about when you think about, you know, getting a house or a cottage or that thing one day. You think, oh, wonder what colour tablecloth I'll go for, or what colour cushions I have on the sofa. You don't think, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to buy some oil. So that was a big purchase. I remember I saw this video online and I felt like it's so funny. It was like me as a kid wanting all these things for Christmas, me as an adult wanting my parents to pay my utilities bill for me. So there we go. Anyway, so I got my oil delivered. That was my Christmas present to myself, so I can have nice warm showers this winter. That was good fun. So yeah, the oil man saw me in my PJs. And then I went outside to go and get my car, and I thought, what is this thing? And then I was like, oh, it's the oil man. So there we go. That was my interesting story of the day. That was my little mid-podcast interlude. You guys love a little mid-podcast interlude where I talk about something totally random that is not related at all. Anyway, Fanny the Pony says, we've done that one. I'm so sorry about that. Wrong one, guys. That was, I did a little break before that one as well because that was a delivery. I'm getting my, sorry, it's been a long year. You know, this is the last podcast of the year. We're having some fun. Lily Lester says, progress more and for me and my horse to become better on the flat. I feel like I was that person once. I always did flat work, but I was like, flat work, it's just a little bit boring sometimes. To be fair, it's more because Casper finds flat work boring. So for me, I feel like coming up with flat work exercises, I always think of something really fun. I could tell you like 5 different flat work exercises now. But when you first get into the arena, when you're warming up, I'm just like, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do? So I feel like pole work is my favourite thing to do with Caspi, because I basically incorporate all of the flat work things, but with pole work. To be fair, I love doing flat work on Joey. Joey is so fun to do flat work on because he's actually quite good at it. He's not got any dressage genes in him. His mum was an eventer, but then also his mum was an ex-racer. So, you know, he doesn't have any like fancy, warm. Actually, I say his dad was a warm blood, but a show jumping warm blood, not a dressage warm blood. Anyway, Joey has no dressage horse in him, but he does do a nice test sometimes when he actually works. He can be a little bit lazy, and I'm like, Joey, come on, mate. Have to give him a bit of persuasion. But no, when he does actually work, I feel like ever since Joey's injury, he can just be like a little stiff sometimes. So I feel like when I'm warming him up, it's like, okay, let's just get him forward. Let's get him going. Let's get him moving. And then once he's like properly warmed up, then I can be like, okay, Joey, you're going to have to use your bum muscles now. You're going to have to use your core. Let's, you know, look pretty, look like a dressage horse, actually use your muscles. And then I feel like the middle of the session, he's great. He's brilliant. It's like, wow, dressage horse here. Wow. And then it gets to the stage where Joey's like, okay, I'm a little bit tired now. And he's worked really hard. And I'm like, so that's the one thing that I feel like I struggle, but the thing that I need to work on most with our dressage is getting fancy Joey, like dressage Joey, ready when it comes to going down the center line and doing my test, because sometimes I'm like, I don't want to warm him up too much so he's tired and then he doesn't do a good test because he's like worn out and he's done all his magic and his pretty moves in the warm-up. But then it's also the balance of making sure that he's warmed up enough so he can actually do his fancy moves and look pretty and then not be like warming him up while doing my test. So that's the one thing that I feel like I need to gauge better. I feel like that's changed a lot as well with how much fitness he has, and also just basically after his injury and everything, getting him back into work. And I still, at the time of recording this podcast, have not got Joey back into work yet. You never know, there might be a video coming soon. Today, actually, this afternoon, wait, what time is it? On the time of filming, it is currently 1:15. But anyway, at 4 o'clock today, so in a few hours, hopefully the vets are going to come and they are going to take off Joey's bandage. So fingers crossed, I will be riding Joey soon. Obviously, we're not going to rush anything. He's going to be let out in the field first and hope he doesn't go wild. We've got some turnout boots for him to wear, so hopefully he doesn't injure himself again, because that boy has cost me so much money in the last 2 years. But anyway, he's worth it. He's worth every penny. He is my baby. I love him very much. So anyway, yeah, flat work. I feel like flat work is such a good thing. I personally don't like to do flat work 2 days in a row if I can help it. I think it's because sometimes, especially if you've worked your horse really hard on the flat, I feel like it's not achy, but I feel like sometimes, you know, if they've worked so hard and then you work them so hard the day after, I feel like sometimes it's nice after flat work to do a little bit of hacking, or maybe like a for Casper, because flat work isn't his favorite thing, do some jumping. I just really like my horse's routines to be really variable and do lots of different bits. But flat work is very important. I feel like doing lots of flat work has helped me so much with my jumping and my dressage. So do your flat work, kids. That is that's my message to you. Now we're going to go on to my 2024 resolutions and goals. But before that, I just want to say a huge thank you to all of you that sent them in. Wish you the best of luck in 2024. Anyway, I'm going to probably say more of my kind of plan for 2024, I guess, rather than goals and resolutions, just because some of them I mentioned before when talking about your guys' ones, especially as a lot of them were very horsey. But I feel like I've got more of like an action plan. So this is my This Says Me 2024 action plan. Normally January and February is my time where I plan things. However, this year I'm ahead of schedule. Okay. Obviously, I don't think there are some things I've booked in for 2025, like we're talking that far ahead. But, you know, there's some space in the year where I've got space to plan other things. But at the moment, this is the plan. New Year's, get Joey back in action. Hopefully do some dressage with Joey. I'd love to do some dressage competitions with him. Maybe some jumping competitions. I'd love to take him arena cross country or arena eventing again. That could be fun. Had a little hiccup then. I'd really like to do some, like, try and get Joey out jumping once a week. If that's at Felicity's for a jumping lesson, I'd really like to try and do like an arena hire maybe once a week. I know that sounds a lot. Maybe every 2 weeks, and then maybe try and get him out hacking once a week somewhere where I can give him a proper blast or a proper gallop to try and get his fitness up, because he really loves that. He loves going up on the hills. I'd love to try and get Casper out quite a bit more as well this year. I feel like for me, the beginning of the year, it's all like yes, 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 and then suddenly it goes to show season where I'm so busy and I'm here, there and everywhere. So I think the plan is to try and do as much as I can in between shows, even if I'm knackered, even if I'm tired. I'm going to be like, nope, Esme, we're going out, not making any excuses. So often I'm just busy, but I'm just busy doing other things like editing. This is so sad. I was going to be like editing videos, recording podcasts, that kind of thing. So I want to try and prioritize the horses this year, maybe. Of course, put lots of content out for you guys. My other thing that I'm really excited for in 2024 is I'm going over to the USA quite a lot, or to America. The plan is to go to Florida March time. So that'll be really good fun. I'd love to go to like Wellington, Ocala, all of the crazy, incredible barns you have over there. My dream slash plan also is to try hunter jumpers. That's something that I've never done before, but I've wanted to do it for the longest time. It would be really fun to film a video with someone and talk about the differences in horse riding between the UK and USA. I think that would be really good fun. What other things I'd like to, obviously it's some barn tours out there, that'll be fun. Filming at some shows, going to some other places. I was trying to think of other things that are really American. I don't know. I was like I want to go to a Target. Is that really sad? I just feel like it just looks so, I mean, I have been to a Target once before, but it just looks really fun. Like, it's just, it's like big Tesco but even bigger. So I don't know, it just seems so incredible that you can just get everything in one place. I mean, sometimes Tesco does, like, I don't know, or Waitrose or M&S. Like, there are some big, like, supermarkets where they do kind of sell everything, but not in the way of Target anyway, so I'm excited for that. Let me know in the comments if you're from America or the USA or whatever you want to call it. Let me know what I should do while I'm out there, because I do have some plans. There are some things that I'm not allowed to tell you yet. I hate being that YouTuber content creator person, which is like, I've got so many secrets and I can't tell you. So there we go. The one thing that I did have to do, actually, when I've been to America before, was when I ordered drinks or ordered food at restaurants, sometimes I would put this on, I don't know, this is like, is it like cultural appropriation to do in like an American accent? I don't know. But I had to, certain words, I had to put a bit of an American accent on, because people just could not understand me. Like, I know I am very British. I'm a very British girl. I think the one word that people really struggled with was water. I had to go water. I really want to try and do an American accent, and you guys tell me how good it is, but I don't want to offend anyone. Because I feel like the sort of American accent that British people do is the very, like, Valley Girl, Californian, that kind of thing. And I feel like there's two types of British accents that Americans do. They either do, like, very royal, queen, sort of posh, or they do kind of like roadman, like, oh yeah, mate, water bottle, yeah, in it, like that kind of thing. So there we go. Maybe if I get enough comments asking me to do an American accent, I'll do one. But I feel like that's the only accent that I can do quite well. That or an Irish accent, although I feel like all of my Irish followers will be like, girl, this is not Irish at all. I've been to Ireland 4 times this year. It's kind of almost my second home. So maybe, you never know. I might be able to do a not too bad one, but I'm not going to do any accents today. I'm going to embarrass myself. I am actually notorious for not being able to do accents, but I feel like Irish and American, I'm not awful. I'd say my American is probably my best. But anyway, I think that's just because there's so much American stuff in the media that we see. Also, there's a lot of like content creators that are American, things like that. Anyway, what else? Oh yeah, I was talking about my trip to America. So there's that. And then going back home for a bit to look after the horses, because I can't be away from them too long. They'll miss me too much and I'll miss them too much. That's actually the proper way around. And then the plan is to go to Kentucky to the 3-day event, which I kind of maybe hinted at in the previous podcast. Let me know if you want me to do a meet and greet, but I feel like that will be really good fun. Also, like, there's a lot of there's a lot of American people that I'm friends with, or like brands that, or people that, there's like American versions of the brands that I work with. Does that make sense? So there's a lot of people out there that I'm really excited to meet or see and chat to. So really looking forward to that. If there's anything else to do in Kentucky, let me know. That's the trip that I planned less so much. I feel like the Florida trip. I really want to go to Disneyland. I'm really excited for that. Let me know. At the Florida Disneyland, or it might be Disney World. I feel like I'm so uneducated on this. There's going to be some Disney people that are going to be really upset with me. Let me know in the comments what I should do while I'm out there, because we have one day where we're traveling and we're like driving by. So I'm like, might as well go to Disneyland. Woo! Last time I went to Disneyland, I was 5, and that was the Paris one. So I've never been to like a, you know, proper like American Disney theme park, that kind of thing. So there we go. I'll have to watch some vlogs before I go to hype myself up and get excited. I have watched a few vlogs over the time. But yeah, that is my main plan for the beginning of 2024. So that'll be like March, April time, I believe. And then by the time I'm back from then, it will kind of be into UK show season. Hopefully by then, Joey is back in action and I'm jumping him again and doing fun things and he's doing well. I would love this year to do some more things with the cottage as well. A lot of you guys like to ask about that. I think the plan for the cottage, I have my reading room slash office in the cottage that I need to do up. So I really want to build a bookcase. I feel like that would be good fun. I also really want to do the garden up as well. That is a really big project. I need to replace my patio, which I've been saving up for because, oh my gosh, that is expensive. But also, I would love to really get into gardening. My Christmas present from my grandparents and my auntie and uncle this year were 2 bushes and 2 plant pots. I think my grandparents got me the bushes, and then my auntie and uncle got me the plant pots. So that is outside my front door right now. Add some more shrubs to that. What else? Yeah, I feel like the garden is going to be like a real big thing to tackle. I'd love to have a garden party, maybe for my birthday. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be turning 23 this year. Well, it's 2023 still, but in June. Actually, this half a year away. It's fine. It's not that scary. But I feel like that sounds like a proper adult age. It's like you're 2 years away from 21. You know, you're a proper adult now. You can't even be like, oh, I'm just like a little teenager that's a little bit older. No, you're a proper adult. So anyway, yeah, I think they're the most things. I'd love to do more things that like fashion and beauty again this year. Especially with like the channel and stuff. A lot of you guys have really enjoyed that. Especially more like on my Instagram as well. I feel like I've done a little bit more of that, which has been really fun. But yeah, there we go. I've got my new book coming out in the new year as well. Book 3 of the Starlight Stables Gang. So that is exciting. I feel like it's my favourite one out of all the books as well. It's in Ellie's point of view, who's one of the characters. And it's called Ellie and the Ponycat Mystery. But there we go. I won't say anymore because I don't want to spoil it. As much as I could literally sit here and talk to you all day about it. But anyway, so I feel like, I'm trying to think of anything else. They're the main things that I'm allowed to tell you right now. There are some other exciting things, collaborations. That's all I'm going to say because I'm going to spoil it. But anyway, lots of cool things coming in 2024. Hopefully I can get Joey out jumping again. That's the like main goal. Also, I don't know if it'll happen, but I would love to hit 1 million subscribers in 2024. At the moment, we're about 70k away. It could be possible. You never know. Tell your friends, tell your family to subscribe so that this has a YouTube channel. Try and get, maybe we should do like a 1 million party. That would be fun. I'd love to do that. Anyway, thank you very much. I always feel weird when I like self-promote myself. I always feel like I'm that content creator that's like, make sure you like, and there we go, you got me on my American accent. I promised that was then, sorry. I've stopped myself as soon as I did it. Anyway, I went into like Mr. Beast mode then anyway, even though he doesn't sound like a teenage girl. Anyway, swiftly moving on, I think we might finish the episode here. Before I give you any spoilers or do any more American accents, I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to every single one of you for supporting the channel, the podcast, my social media accounts this year. I really, really appreciate it. And you guys are the reason that I'm able to do this as a job. So I'm so, so grateful. Thank you very, very much. And yeah, I'm wishing you all a very good 2024. I hope you have a great year. I hope you smash your goals. And I hope you have a good time. Sending you all the love. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you so much to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast and sponsoring the podcast this year. Also, just realised this is episode 40. We have done 40 episodes of the podcast this year, and I only started it April, I think. Yeah, March, April. So there we go. Thank you everyone for listening, and I'll see you later. Bye.